Well, as you probably gathered, we're starting a new series, and we're going to be in it for the next few weeks, and it's called Project Jericho. Now, a couple of months ago, we talked about some battles that were really epic in Scripture. You guys remember any sweet battles that we talked about? Was anyone here for that series? You weren't here for it?
No, I was saying, I wasn't here, but I do know some really...
That there's some epic stuff. Have you ever looked through the Old Testament to see all the really cool things God does? And he takes these like armies of people that you wouldn't suspect to be like good fighters. And they a lot of times don't even have weapons. And they're just going up and God's going before them. And he's winning these unbelievable battles against these really big enemies. And he's doing incredible things. And so we saw all these different battles. And every time we saw one, we had to stop and go like, God, you are so strong. Like, none of these people can brag about the things that they just did in this battle. All of them have to point up to you and go, God, you did the whole thing. Like, we didn't even pick up swords, and here you come, and you're crushing our enemies. And the cool thing about that for you and I is that when we read Scripture about our God, we know that he's here fighting your battles. And right now, like as you think through your head and you're thinking through the different things you're facing today, maybe even just this like beginning of your second week back at school, and you're already like, man, I'm seeing some big battles that are going to be huge for me this year. I want you to know tonight, like, be encouraged. God's fighting that for you. God cares about those things. He cares about the things that you're not even thinking of, that you don't even know are coming along the way yet. He cares about the small things. Maybe just that like one little thing that's happening that annoys you throughout the day. And he cares about the really big things that decide people's eternity. And he cares about it all. And he loves you and he's fighting for you. I love that song we sang earlier. And so now as we've kind of walked through that whole deal, we're going back and we're just going to focus in on one place. And it's the city of Jericho. And so that's why this thing that we're doing here at Firehouse this year is called Project Jericho. Because we have this thing that God is doing in our hearts as leaders here, that it's burning in us to see something awesome happen. And it's not something like that we sat around and said, what do we want this year? We went before God and we're like, Lord, what do you want to do this year? What do you want to do in us as leaders? What do you want to do in our students at Firehouse? What do you want to do here in Merritt Island? And he kept drawing our hearts back to your schools, back to the local schools around here, where you guys walk through the hallways every day, where you guys sit in classrooms, you guys play sports and you're involved in clubs. Those are the places where God was like, hey, that's where I'm calling you guys. And the really cool part about that whole deal was that you guys are already there. Every day you guys wake up, get ready, you walk onto that campus, and you're seeing people walk by you who don't know Jesus. Every day you're sitting next to people that are broken and hurting, and you might not even know it because they come with this like big old smile to hide it so people think they're good. They don't want you to know. But there they are right at your side, sitting at the desk next to you, and they got a broken heart. Maybe their family's going through all sorts of stuff that you can't even imagine, and on their face it looks fine, and they're sitting right next to you. Like, you guys are already walking through these campuses where God's burning in our hearts to go. And it's neat because what he's saying is he wants to use you. And he brought my mind to this place, Jericho, that we talked about. Because I thought, God, so what do we do? Like, what's the plan? How do we attack this thing? How do we make it happen so that every kid on this island, you know, there's 3,500 students that are middle school or high school age just on Merritt Island. And I'm praying, I'm like, God, 3,500 kids, you can do that. We could see every kid on this island know Jesus. And I'm like, what do we do? And God's like, oh, hold on, Rob. Hold on, you want the plan already? And he brought my mind to Jericho. And as I'm reading through this awesome passage that we looked at before, I was just reminded of how we need to just wait. We need to just sit back and go, God, it's not about us doing it. It's about you coming along and going, that city's mine. And then you take it, and I get to stand there, and I get to watch God do this unbelievable thing that blows my mind. And he's like, Rob, you stand right there and just watch me show off. And I'm like, man, what an honor just to watch you. And to know that you guys get to be a part of that too. I wonder if right now you're thinking about people in your school, just as I'm talking about it, if faces are popping in your mind. Names of friends or people that you know, or maybe even teachers, coaches. that you're like, I know they don't know Jesus. And my heart is so burdened for them. Like, I want them to know Jesus. I want them to be saved. I want them to know where they're going for eternity. That's a big deal. I wonder who God's already laying on your heart just as we're saying these words right now. And I asked a few of you, some of our student leaders were around, and I said, hey, you guys, what do you think about this? And I want you guys to hear some of their answers. We've got a video of what a few of them said.
Yeah, I'd like to see God do it in my school over the course of years. He made your growth in FCA and in the Bible clubs at the school. So more kids can hear about Jesus and God will let you know about their lives. One thing God has taught me to speak is not to overextend myself, not to do too much stuff, to stay focused on Him and still have time for God throughout
my life. One thing I hope this year for God to do in my school is to help others to glow in the fire for Jesus and help us to spread the gospel and help us to live fully upright lives. One thing I've seen God do this week in my school is transform our hearts into not judging others and not to think of a person's certain way just because we've seen them do something in the past, but we've seen people change this year and that God has changed them for better.
I think God's brought a lot of new people to our school, and that's good because the more new people, the more people we can share the gospel with.
I just hope God uses me to be a light in the dark places, because I want people to see Him and me, and have Him just use me to be nice to people, and people look at me and be like, wow, she's different. I want to be like her and not like everyone else. I want to be what she is. I want to do what she's doing. I want to know what she knows. I've definitely seen God work at school by putting me on the volleyball team and just making me become friends with people who I normally wouldn't have become friends with. He's also put me in classes with teachers who aren't exactly Christian, and I can just work in their lives and just help them see Jesus and help them see God and just help them know why they're here and not just question life.
So I'm a homeschooler, and this year God's been showing me that there are opportunities for missions even without being on a public school campus. Things like if you're dual enrolled, you can go to the FSC campus, wherever you're going to be dual enrolled. Things like private activities, like music lessons and 4-H and things like that. There are plenty of opportunities there. And even other things like, I don't know, friends parties, things like that, friends activities, like book clubs, things like that. God has many opportunities and doors there to open for you.
So that's what just a few of your peers have said about this year and what they want to see God do. And I'll tell you what, if God does that stuff, holy cow, your schools are going to be different. And so we're going to jump into the passage tonight where we're looking at what God's doing in Jericho. And we're going to walk through this story just in chunks over the next few weeks and see what God's doing in us. What's He calling Firehouse to do in your schools? And go ahead and open up with me. It's Joshua chapter 5 that we're in tonight, verse 13. As you guys open up there, or you can look up here too, that's fine. Do anyone have an older brother or sister that messes with you all the time incessantly and makes your life miserable? Yes. Yeah, so you already know my story. I've got that. I'm the youngest of four, and I was always picked on. My oldest brother used to he was really smart, kind of egghead, nerdy type dude that was super smart. And so he would always do these things just to mess with my head. And so he would always ask me, it was just annoying after a while once I figured out what he was doing, but he would ask me this question. He would say, are you bringing your lunch or walking to school today? Think about that. How would you answer that? Are you bringing your lunch or walking to school today? Which one? Right? Yeah. Some of your mind, I see some smoke puffing out. You're like, how do I answer that? It's not a question you can really answer, right? There's two things that have nothing to do with each other. And he was just doing it to frustrate me. I'm like, but how do I choose? I'm doing both, you know? And those type of questions, I'm sure you guys have heard other things like that. They just mess with your mind, or riddles that you can't answer. And the thing that we're looking at tonight I can see it's not happening, but I could see that kind of happening in this conversation between Joshua and Jesus. And Jesus isn't in any way trying to like mess with Joshua's head, but it comes out at first really confusing like that, where Joshua asks Jesus this question and Jesus answers him in this way that's like you're asking the wrong question totally, Joshua. It doesn't even make sense what you're saying right now. You should be asking something totally different. And so I'm going to show you, there's this moment that we're going to see in this passage where it's just this epic question. The courage that Joshua would have to ask this question and to do it the way he did reminds me kind of this scene. You know, I'm a superhero freak, so I got to show you a superhero clip from Age of Ultron. I'm going to show it to you right now. Check it out. Ready? You waiting for it? This is to build suspense. We need a drum roll. Nope, we're not showing it. Juked you out. They said no. So anyway, I'll just tell you what it was. I don't know what happened, but so Age of Ultron. You guys want to talk about Vision just gets created? Any like buffs, like superhero buffs? You know who Vision is? Okay, yeah, so most of you do. So I'm going to go with it, all right? So he's this awesome new, like, Tony Stark invents this, like, crazy, like, AI that takes over the world. So he has to invent a new one to beat that one. It's really just Jarvis, which is his awesome computer that he already had in the mind of this really cool superhero. Okay? So that happens, and he pops out of just, like, nowhere, and then he's, like, this new superhero. And he's never, like, he's literally born seconds ago, and he has this really cool, powerful stone in his head, which is one of the Infinity Stones, if you're a nerd and know that. Okay, so there he is, and so Captain America's getting like really ticked off. He's like, we don't know what he stands for. He's like, he needs to decide whose side he's on, right? And so they look at him, and they're like, everyone's wondering, like, whose side are you on, bro? Are you a good one? Are you a bad one? Like, what's going on? And Vision answers with this, because remember, he's like innocent. He was just born. He says, I'm on the side of life. He doesn't answer the question. He's like, are you on their side or our side? Are you with Ultron or are you with the Avengers? And he's not answering either one. He's like, I'm not on either one of your sides. He's like, I'm on the side of life. He gives them this like totally new question to ask. He's like, you guys are asking me the wrong question in the first place. You see, he wasn't about joining a side. He had a bigger cause than either cause that they represented to him. He's like, I'm standing up for something way bigger than what you guys are even asking. So I can't even answer that question. And as Joshua goes before Jesus tonight, and it is Jesus, I think, I'm pretty sure this is Jesus, it's Old Testament, you're like, how does Jesus show up in the Old Testament if Jesus was born and died on the cross in the New Testament? How does that happen? Because before he became flesh, he still showed up all over the Bible. Jesus is eternal, he's the Son of God. And so here he is in the Old Testament, he shows up and he has this conversation with Joshua. And Joshua asks him this question, all right? So why don't you read it with me? We're in Joshua chapter 5. Verses 13 to 15. I'm going to read it with you. It says, when Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked. And behold, a man was standing before him with his drawn sword in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? And he said, no. I'm like, no, that wasn't the question, Jesus. But I am the commander of the army of the Lord. Now I have come. Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshiped and said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? And the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take off your sandals from your feet, for the place where you're standing is holy. And Joshua did so. Here's that. Did you guys hear that question? Like that Joshua goes before Jesus with. You hear how Jesus answered it? It's like, bro, you're asking me the wrong question. And there's something you need to know about this. Let me catch you up to this if you haven't gone through this last series with us. Jericho is this like insanely protected place. All right? The people of Israel, they were slaves for a long time in Egypt. God uses Moses, gets them out of Egypt. Then they get like stuck wandering in the desert. They haven't had a place to call home in hundreds and hundreds of years. They're just wandering around. And God goes to Joshua and he's like, hey, Joshua, it's time. I'm going to use you. You're going to bring these people into their own land. They're going to be able to build their own houses and have their own country and call this place home. It's called the Promised Land. But you're going to have to fight some people. There's going to be some battles on the way so that you can have that. And the first one that they had to do, this big one, was Jericho. this place that we're looking at. It was this massive city, and it kind of decided whether or not they were going to be able to continue fighting and winning their land. Jericho had these walls around it that were big enough to ride chariots around the top of the walls. People built houses in the walls. Like, these were massive, thick walls. And so they were looking out. They're like, yeah, bring it. You got a bunch of farmers. Like, you got a bunch of like masons that built pyramids and stuff. You don't have soldiers with you. You're a bunch of people who have been wandering around a desert. So I'm not sure they're too nervous at this point, hiding behind these big, massive walls with all these warriors there. But Jesus says, or God says to Joshua, hey, I want you to take Jericho. And so Joshua goes up to, in verse 13, he goes up to this probably hillside, kind of overlooking Jericho, and he's watching and he's taking notes and he's trying to plan and figure this thing out. Like, how will we take this city? And it says, when Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked. Now, at first, when you just read that, you're like, cool, like he looked around, like no big deal. But that phrase is used a lot in the Bible. And when it says that someone lifts up their eyes and looked, and behold, this is a phrase that's like, man, something awesome is about to happen. This person is about to see a miracle. That's what that phrase means. So here's Joshua, and he lifts up his eyes to behold this unbelievable miracle that he never expected to see that day when he set out to that hillside. There he is sitting on the hill, and this miracle takes place. There's something cool about that. Obviously, miracles are cool, but there's something cool about Joshua sitting there and this gracious thing God does. Because here he is, he's making plans, dude. This guy's like, I'll send troops that way, and then I'm going to have horses come down this way, and maybe some camels trample those people. Like, I don't know what he's thinking, right? It's something like generals think, but he's like making plans, and he's looking for these physical things that are going to happen. And then all of a sudden, he sees a miraculous thing totally different. Like, it's something way different than he expected to see. Have you ever been in that situation where, like, you're looking around looking for a solution out of wherever you're at or whatever is going on in your life, and you're expecting some physical results, and you're trying to work through it real hard and do the best you can to get through that, and all of a sudden you look up and God just like marches in. There's something totally miraculous that takes place instead. You're like, man, I never would have imagined that. I never would have thought it would happen that way. That had to be God. Ever have a moment like that? Those moments are awesome because you get to see God's fingerprint in your life. And I thought I was going to fix it. And God's like, nope, he just does it. But here's the other flip side of that coin is that we always want to look with our eyes. We always want to look around and see how I'm going to fix this. How is Rob going to handle the things coming in his life? How am I going to be prepared physically for these things and get ready for stuff? And how will I take control? Instead of having eyes that are expecting a miracle. Eyes that are ready to look up and see God at work in a way I never expected. Do you go through your day thinking, man, how's God going to show up today? You know, when you put on your penny loafers, and you know what a penny loafer is? Yes, I really do. Do you know what that is? You put little like pennies in your shoes, and like back in the day, it was awesome. We used to like shine them. Anyway, whatever, I'm old. So you put on your shoes in the morning, right? And you put your bag on and you march off to school. Are you thinking already like, hey, God's going to do something awesome today? I can't wait to see what God's going to do. Like, is that your thought? Are you looking with eyes expecting some miraculous thing? And when I say miracle, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying like you're expecting God just to start making like, I don't know, like rainbows of Snickers and stuff in the sky, like some crazy. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying like God will do things you don't expect better than you could have planned it yourself. God will give you a conversation, boom, right there at the lunch table that you weren't even looking for, where you get to share your faith about who he is and be excited about what he's done in your life, and that person gets to hear it and like receive what you just said, and you're like, whoa, I've been so scared to do that, and here God just sets it right in my lap. Like, or that friend that might come that you're able to notice that they're going through a hard time, and you get to put your arm around them and love them that day and see that your impact in their life, God used that to totally change their day. Or that thing in your life that has been bothering you and breaking your heart for a long time. And you're waking up that day with eyes to say, God, what are you going to do today? God, how are you taking that giant, that Jericho in my life? And how are you doing something awesome today? I'm expecting it. Like, I want to look with eyes that are expecting God to do something awesome. Instead of being that guy who's like Eeyore, you know, wakes up, is like, man, what a terrible day. I got to go to school and all this bad stuff's going to happen. And I didn't study for Chupka's test, and he gives a test every single day while I hit a volleyball in class, bouncing something else off my head because he's weird. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, the church keeps calling me while I'm up here. This is kind of weird. I want to wake up with eyes that go, God, you've got big plans today. I can't wait to see what you're going to do. Because that's your God. That's who you serve. We just sang about him. We saw how much he loves you. The good plans that he has for you. Wake up with eyes that say, Lord, I'm ready to see the miracle. So he sees this. Look what happens next. And behold, a man was standing before him with his drawn sword in his hand. So here's Joshua, right? He's scouting on this hill. He's taking notes. And he opens his eyes. There's a dude there. And he's got his sword already drawn in his hand. What do you think's going through Joshua's head? Oh, goodness. Like, they found me out. This dude's coming to kill me. He's probably going to, like, sound the trumpet. And all these soldiers are going to come, like, chasing after me. Like, they found me. Right? So immediately, as Joshua sees that, he probably sees this red flag, like, I'm going to die. Like, something's going to happen. I'm going to have to fight right now. Well, there's something really cool about, I looked up that phrase too. This image of a dude with like a drawn sword happens throughout the Bible. And each time we see that image of like an angel doing it or a man doing it or Jesus showing up and doing it, it represents readiness. That Jesus, that God is ready to do something awesome. He's about to lead you into something amazing. He's like, shing, let's go. You've seen the cool movies, right? Like those awesome war movies where that really inspiring dude with a really cool accent is like, let's kill them, blah, 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 blah. And they're all like, yeah, let's go, come on. And like, everybody wants to. Everybody wants to follow this guy. That's this image, but it's not just a dude with a cool accent. It's the Son of the living God. It's the Alpha and Omega, the creator of everything that exists. And he's standing in front of Joshua going, shing, I'm ready to do this. How quickly would Joshua's heart turn? Like, I feel like his stomach would have dropped to see this guy thinking, he's going to kill me. They found me out. To immediately thinking, Joshua, follow me. Joshua, let's go. I've got this. Is that how you look at your God? You sitting there thinking like God's got plans? See, because I'm here to tell you tonight from this passage, God is ready to do something awesome in you and in your school, in your family. Are you ready to follow? Are you ready to follow? You see, Joshua's standing there and he has to make a choice now. Because he was about to make his own plans, and here comes this dude. But see, Joshua totally hasn't grasped what's going on yet. So he asks this almost ridiculous question at this point. Look at what it says next. And Joshua went to him. Like, immediately he's thinking, if I don't take this dude out, he's going to go tell everybody else. So either he's cool or he's not. We're going to figure this out now before it's too late. So Joshua goes immediately to him and says to him, are you for us? Or are you for our adversaries, our enemies? Like, pick a side, bro. Because if you're not for us, we're about to throw down. So it's a good thing your sword's out. I hope it's sharp. But if you're for us, man, you'll make a good ally. Let's do this thing. But he's got to know. He goes in for that question. I feel like him a lot. I feel like I do that in my relationship with God a lot, where he's standing in front of me and the sword's drawn. He's like, Rob, you ready? You ready? Let's do this. And I'm still going, whoa, wait, hold on. Are you my enemy? Or are you my ally? Like, I'm still looking physically through these eyes that don't understand really who's standing in front of me. the gravity of who Jesus is in my own life. I doubt and I go, man, I don't know if those plans are going to happen, God. I don't know if that's really what you want to do. I'm not gifted enough to do that. You want me to go talk to people about Jesus? I'm scared to death. Like, God, are you sure? Or, Lord, I like it over here. I like doing these things, and what you're calling me to do is to leave these sinful things in my life that are wrecking me, that are just messing everything up, and you're asking me to step into a blessed relationship with you, where I'm following you, and I'm enjoying being with you and leaving the things of the world behind, because I want you, Jesus. But my eyes tend to be so physical that I can't see who's standing right in front of me when Jesus is right there. And he's making me an offer I shouldn't be able to resist. When's the last time you sat before Jesus and he looked at you and said, I want to use you. I want to do something awesome through you. You're like, oh, I never had that happen. Look, it's not because Jesus isn't saying it. Romans tells us over and over, if you believe in him, he's doing that. It's us. We're not ready to follow. We're not realizing who it is that's right in front of us who's saying, hey, come on. Shing, I'm leading you. There's nothing to fear. Do you know who I am? Just walk in my shadow. Just follow behind me. We're going to take the city. Do you trust me enough to follow and say yes and go? Or are you still looking with these physical eyes wondering, who are you? What side are you on? And I love Jesus' answer. Because listen, I want you to get this. So often we try to convince God to get on our side. You know, like, Lord, you know I really need this. Will you come do this? Here's why. And then I go down my list and I try to convince God, right? Like, you know I need to do this and this. And I'll glorify you, Lord. If you do it, man, I'll give you the praise. I'll tell everybody about you. And I will rationalize and say all this stuff to God so he'll get on my side and give me what I want. You guys have never done that, though, right? Like, you never do that in your prayer life with God. Instead, God's saying, how about instead of trying to get me on your side, you jump on mine? Instead of trying to convince me to give you the things you want in life, why don't you realize that I'm the greatest thing you could ever have in life? Those small plans you keep asking me for, those little teeny desires that are nothing, they pale in comparison to me, the creator of everything that exists. And you're more concerned with the junk over there? Do you know who's standing in front of you? Stop trying to convince God to get on your side and realize that he's inviting you onto his, the only side that matters. Line up behind him and say, God, wherever you march on, wherever you lead, pull your sword, let's go, I'm following you. You know what I'm asking you guys tonight? You know the thing that God has laid on my heart and your leaders and your student leaders? We want to see students be built up in this place. We want to see you believe and have stronger faith in your heart in Jesus. And that guy in front of you who's drawing the sword, that's Jesus. So that God can use you on your local school campus to tear down the walls like we're going to see in Jericho, that are preventing people from hearing the gospel on your campus, that are preventing people from hearing who Jesus is and having their life changed. We want to see God build you up to tear those walls down in your schools. Whether it's a private school, a Christian school, a home school, God has plans. He's drawn the sword and he's asking you, line up behind me and let's go. I want you guys to say yes. I want you to look back at God when he says that and say, Lord, I see it's you. I can trust you. Yes, let's go. Whatever you say, God, here I am. So Joshua hears this thing and learns a lesson. Look at verse 14. Jesus' answer is, and he said, no, I'm not on your side. I'm not on their side. The answer is no. Like, you have the wrong question for me. You're not even asking the right thing. It wasn't a yes or no answer because he couldn't say that. Like, I'm not just on a side. You need to get on my side. See, God wants to give you the right question too. What have you been asking him? Like when you pray, when you read God's word, hopefully you do that. If you don't do it, it's going to be the thing that changes your life. And you talk to God and you think through what he's doing in your life. Do you say like, Lord, give me the right question to ask. Tell me what to ask you. I don't even know what to ask you because what I ask will be wrong. It'll be selfish. And what I want to ask you, God, is the right question. Like, show me what your plan is so I can ask you the right question about my family and my school and my friends and my relationships and all these things going on. I want to serve you. So give me the question. I feel like this passage is so explicitly saying God wants to give you that question. Just like he wants to give it to Joshua. We're going to see that in a second. And I know he wants to do that to you. Some of you guys are getting it. Like your eyes are lighting up. You're like, man, that's what I want. I want to know what God has for me. Even now, will you just start asking him in your heart? Like, Lord, will you give me that question? Will you show me what it is you have planned for me this year? And then Jesus finishes his statement or his answer with this. He says, but I'm the commander of the army of the Lord. And we know that in a second because he says something really big about who he is. He starts off that by saying, I am. Like, this is God. That I am phrase is a phrase that's used by God throughout Scripture. And so we see the Son of God himself, Jesus, before he became flesh. Jesus, the Son of God, standing before Joshua telling him, do you realize who I am? You're up here trying to write out your plans. You're probably worried that I'm some scout that's going to sell you out. What I need you to know is, you don't have to worry about anything. I am. I command armies way bigger than yours. I command the entire universe at my word. I split oceans in half. I crush enemies. And I'm your commander. He's saying, Joshua, do you know who I am? Get behind me. He tells Joshua this, that more than anything else, he needs Jesus. And that is true for you and me. As you're thinking through your life, as you're thinking through school, maybe stuff going on in your family, know that you need Jesus more than anything. Not answers to specific prayers. The thing you need most is a relationship with Jesus Christ. And some of you guys need that because like you've never accepted Christ in your heart. You don't know who he is. Maybe tonight you need to accept Jesus as your commander, as your savior. Maybe some of you guys are like, man, I've known Jesus for a long time. I've done that. But you still tonight need Jesus. Every day for the rest of eternity, Jesus will be your greatest need. And so Joshua learns this, and look, he says, now I have come. The thing you weren't even expecting, Joshua, here I am. Like you weren't even asking, and I'm here to fight with you. And then look, Joshua fell on his face to the earth, and he worshiped. He's standing in front of Jesus. Now he gets it, right? He didn't get it before. He's like, bro, whose side are you on? Jesus is standing there with a sword out. And then he's like, listen, I am. Joshua's eyes light up. It clicks in his head. And he realizes that God himself is standing in front of him. And you know what he does? It says he falls literally on his face before him. And he starts to worship him right there on the ground. He's like, I don't even deserve to stand up in your presence. And he falls on his face. And he's like, you are God. And he begins to worship. It's funny because the presence of God will always drive you to worship. Next time you're standing in a worship service and you're doing that whole like kind of Christian thing, youth group thing, Christian school thing, whatever, and you're just like, you know, and you're not in it. Or you're giggling with your friends and you're too into like that pretty girl down the hall that you're not even looking at Jesus. And there you are. And what everyone's doing is they're saying, God, we're in your presence. There's no distraction big enough that's going to pull my attention away from you. You see, the funny thing is, when we're really in His presence and we get who He is, when we know who's standing in front of us, and it's not the dudes on the stage up here playing the guitars or beating those drums looking really cool and all that deal. These people aren't who we're worshiping. The one who we're worshiping, you can't see with your eyes, but He's here. And when you realize He's here, who it is that you're in His presence, you fall on your face and you worship because you can't do anything else. You realize how big He is and how unbelievable He is and how much He loves you, and it overwhelms you to a point where you fall and you just go, God, you are God. So many lame excuses we have that we call worship. Moments that we say, man, it was just so off the hook. Whatever you guys say, and like lit. It was lit. That's terrible. Don't say that. But you say that, right? Why? Well, because the guitar, man, and like that, the vocals, and like that's, you're not worshiping that. You know, the moment you realize you're worshiping is the moment you realize whose presence you're in. Jesus is in the room. The Holy Spirit is filling this place. That the God who created heaven and earth is right here in front of you. That makes you fall in worship. That's what Joshua did, because he realized he was in the presence of God. And he said to him, what does my Lord say to His servant? Here's this really cool thing. Because Joshua realizes who Jesus is and he worships, it makes his heart center on Jesus. It's like all he can see now is Jesus. He doesn't care about Jericho. He doesn't care about his armies. He doesn't care about anything else. He just cares about this incredible God who's right in front of him. And it's all he can think about. And the only thing he can see, and his heart is centered on Jesus. And a heart that's centered on Jesus through worship will desire to serve and obey Jesus. If you really know you're in His presence, you're really worshiping Him, and you're like, God, you're worth everything. You know what you'll do? You know the way you'll know it's not just a bunch of words you're saying, but you mean it? That worship will cause you to say, what do you want me to do? I'm right here, God. Send me. Tell me to do something. Let me serve you. It's not like, what do I have to do? Man, what's the rules for this thing? It's like, God, how can I serve you? Let me be a part. And that's the heart that Joshua gets in this moment as he's standing before Jesus. And then he ends with this. Look at, this is the answer Jesus gives him in verse 15. The commander of the Lord's army, Jesus, says to Joshua, take off your sandals from your feet, for the place where you're standing is holy. He says this another time, and he says it way back in Exodus 3:5, right? Was Moses is in front of the burning bush, and God's in that burning bush. He says, hey, Moses, take off your sandals, for the place you're standing is holy. So this is the second time. You know what it means? The thing you need most isn't to win this battle today. The thing you need most isn't this awesome plan that you came up here trying to figure out. The thing you need most is to realize that you are in the presence of a Savior. And if your heart is focused on Jesus and you're saying, God, I want to serve you. What do you want me to do? He's going to say, love me. I'll take care of the rest. You're worried about this, A, B, and C. Don't worry about A, B, and C. It's the wrong question. Let me cause your heart to love me. Will you look at me in worship? Will you fall at my feet and surrender your heart to me? Instead of saying, God, but if you don't do that, I'm not going to follow you. He's like, what? You're giving me like a fleece. You're making me like, you're trying to blackmail me into doing this. He's like, you know what you really need? To love me. You know, realize who I am. Let it make you fall on your face before me. Surrender your heart and say, God, more than anything, I'm yours. I just want to be yours. So to circle this thing back around, here's how I want to close tonight. We're asking you if you'll join us, your leaders, your student leaders, me. We're asking you if you'll join us on your campus. Not by coming up with some strategy to get on there and like, this is what we're going to do, A, B, and C. Come on, we're all going to attack this thing so people know Jesus. First step, you surrender your heart to Christ. You see, Jesus made Joshua the leader he wanted by changing his heart. He didn't give him a better sword or an awesome plan to go fight a battle. He said, here, before any of that, let me get your heart centered on me. So here's my question for you tonight. Is your heart centered on Jesus? Do you want him to do big things in your life? Do you want to look up with eyes and go, holy cow, God, I never expected that? Then give him your heart. If you haven't done that, let it be tonight. Will you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? We're going to worship to close tonight in just a second, but with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I just want to ask you tonight if that's you. Is the Holy Spirit tapping your heart saying, man, there are people all around you in your school that don't know Jesus? Is He burdening your heart for those people? And if He is, man, will you just raise your hand up and say, there's some people I want to see know Christ this year. Will you pray for those people with me? And just raise your hand up and say, look, I know some people I want to see accept Jesus. Pop your hand up in the air and say, that's me. Like, I got some people at school that need to know Christ, and I'm going to be praying for them. Awesome. Anybody else? There's a lot of you guys that know people. Anybody else know somebody? Tonight, we're going to pray for those people. You guys can put your hands down. Is there anybody here tonight who's like, man, I want God to use me to do that. I want to be like Joshua. And tonight, I need Him just to center my heart on Him so He's the thing I want most more than anything else. Can I pray for you tonight? Can you just be honest and just say, Rob, like, that's me. I need my heart centered on Jesus again. Will you pray for me tonight? Yeah, I see your hands. Anybody else? Just pray for me tonight that God would center my heart on Him. Yes, I see your hand too. Yeah, I see you in the back. Anybody else? All right, my last question, you guys can put your hands down, is this. Maybe you're here and you're like, I've never known Jesus as my Savior. I don't know that if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Rob, will you pray for me? I want to know that if I were to die tonight when I left this place, that I'd be standing in front of God and He would let me in heaven. I want to know that I have a relationship with Him, that I've been forgiven of my sin, and I've never done that. Is that you? You've never done that? Can you just slip your hand up? Like, I've never done that before. I need to know Jesus. I need to know that He's my Savior. Awesome. Yeah. All right. Let me pray for you guys tonight. Lord, there's a lot of stuff going on. A lot of different hands for different things. But God, You know every life and every situation and every person that we pictured in our mind when we raised our hand tonight. And we're just asking You, God, we don't know hearts. We don't know if people are saved or not. But Lord, we know when You're burdening us. We know when You're leading us. Will You encourage these students? Will You build them up in their faith tonight for having been here? Help them leave this place tonight. Those who raise their hand and said, God, center my heart on You. Will You center their heart on You? Cause us to want You more than anything else, Lord. For those who don't know You and they're here tonight and they're like, I've never been saved. Will You just have them come talk to me or one of the leaders tonight? Holy Spirit, will You just prod them to do that? That they could leave this place knowing that they're saved, that they're forgiven by You and they're right with You. God, we lift up our schools and we say this year, Lord, we are all about taking these schools over. Project Jericho is a real thing at Firehouse and a real thing in our hearts. And God, we want to see these students built up so those walls will get torn down in our schools and that real live people with faces and names will come to know Jesus as their Savior. But only You can do it, God. We just want to follow You in it. So draw Your sword and lead us. We love You, Jesus. It's in Your name we pray. Amen.